for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2007 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Saturday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Meeting, September the 1st, 2007. Jane Hunt is the speaker of this service, teaching on Why Worry.
I want us to make a list of things that people worry about. Oh, any of you guilty? Someone give me something that people worry about.
Money.
I can't hear everybody at once.
Finances.
All right, let me get that down. What else?
Grandchildren,
family, right? Hang on a minute. I got children, grandchildren, marriage, health, marriage,
weight,
careers, jobs. What else you worry about?
The future.
The future. Anything else?
Business.
Okay, that would go with careers. All right. I think when you get older, you worry, are you going to have enough? Would we call that what? Would that be worry of the future? Are we going to have enough money to get by? Is Social Security going to hang on long enough for us to draw all of it that we need before we get out of here? Anything else that we worry about? Being late. All right.
Like me.
Oh, being liked. Okay. I don't hear too well out of one ear, not at all out of the other one. All right. Punctuality. What else do you worry about?
Travel safety.
I didn't get that last one. All right. Well, I think that would go with health or sagging in the wrong places.
Children.
All right. Children is down here. I have finances, children and grandchildren, health, marriage, weight, jobs and careers, the future. Business, wait till I read my list, then we'll add to it. Business, being liked, punctuality, safety.
transportation.
All right, transportation. Anybody ever worry about being alone?
Yes.
Loneliness? Okay, loneliness, loss of mate.
Isolation.
Loneliness.
Do you worry about dying?
Yeah.
We've never done it before, but is there a little bit of concern about what it might be like?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Carla, when you get a little older, you can worry about dying. Death and dying. Anything else we want to add to that? Like preparedness for emergencies, right?
The one world government.
One world government, that's a good word for it.
Unknown.
Well, you're making my list so long. All right, Mark of the Beast. Somewhere to live. I know, ladies, you worry about what you're going to wear. Probably you go to your closet and you say, I don't have anything in here to wear. You try on 15 things to go somewhere. I don't know. I've got several sizes of clothes in my closet, and I would imagine that you do, too. Ladies,
I'm going to wear them one of these days.
All right. But, so then can we say that we are a nation of warriors?
Yeah.
A community of warriors?
Yeah.
Okay, let's bow for a word of prayer since I got you thinking a little bit. Father, we just thank you that we're able to come into your presence, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would teach each one of us the things that you would have us to learn. And Father, open our ears and our understanding, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak would come forth from you with clarity and with anointing, Lord. And Father, I just pray that as we explore this subject together, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, in the areas where we're weak, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, after a situation is over with, it's real easy not to worry, isn't it? But in the midst of that situation, we want to worry about it. Now, I think that women are probably worse to worry than men. What do you think?
Yes.
We're the caretakers, so it's easier for us to worry. One writer says that 75% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. And we've wasted some time worrying. And another says that 25%, the other 25% we have no control over. And I read another statistic that said actually that 90% of the things that we worry about will never come to pass. And only 10% of our worries are legitimate. Now, if you look back at the list that we made, what change can you make by worrying? Can you make any change at all by worrying? Does your worrying help the situation? No, it doesn't help a thing. And you know, I'd like to challenge you that when you go home, maybe to make you a list of the things that you worried about during that day. Listen to conversations of people. Well, that just worries me. You know, that really worries me. That has me so upset. And worry will make you be upset. But when we write something down, it reinforces our skills. And that's why we as teachers make a lot of our students in school write things down, and to reinforce that skill. So if you will write your list down, and then if you go to a weight loss program, what do? They make you write down everything you eat. And, you know, sometimes you'd like to cheat, but you don't want to have to write it down so you don't eat it. Of course, that's the method of the madness of the thing. But if we would write down the things that we worry about, and we would say, Lord, I need your help. I don't want to be a worrier. I don't want to worry about this. I don't want to worry about something else. We are habitual worriers. Now, I've got a poem that someone emailed me that I want to read to you that is really a kind of a neat poem. And it's called I Worry. Is there a magic cutoff period when offspring become accountable for their own actions? Is there a wonderful moment when parents can become detached spectators in the lives of their children and shrug and say, it's their life, it's nothing? Now, when I was in my 20s, I stood in a hospital corridor waiting for the doctors to put a few stitches in my son's head. I asked, when do you stop worrying? The nurse said, well, when they get out of the accident stage, you can stop worrying. My mother just smiled faintly and said nothing. Now, when I was in my 30s, I sat on a little chair in a classroom and heard how one of my children incessantly talked and disrupted the class and was probably headed for a career making license plates. As if to read my mind, the teacher said, don't worry, they all go through this stage. Then you can sit back and relax and enjoy them. My mother just smiled faintly and said nothing. Now, when I was in my 40s, I spent a lifetime waiting for the phone to ring, the cars to come home, and the front door to open. A friend said, they're trying to find themselves. Don't worry. In a few years, you can stop worrying. They'll be adults. My mother just smiled faintly and said nothing. By the time I was 50, I was sick and tired of being vulnerable. I was still worrying over my children, but there was a new wrinkle. There was nothing I could do about it. My mother just smiled faintly and said nothing. I continued to anguish over their failures, be tormented by their frustrations, and absorbed in their disappointments. Now, my friend said that when my kids got married, that I could stop worrying and lead my own life. I wanted to believe that, but I was haunted by my mother's warm smile and her occasional, you look pale. Are you all right? Call me the minute you get home. Are you depressed about something? Can it be that parents are sentenced to a lifetime of worry? Is concern for another handed down like a torch to blaze the trail of human frailties and the fears of the unknown? Is concern a curse, or is it a virtue that elevates us to the highest form of life? One of my children, quite irritable, recently called me and said, where were you? I've been calling for 3 days and no one answered. I was worried. I smiled a warm smile. The torch had been passed. I thought that was really good, and it went right along with what I wanted to teach on. Now, I had another teaching that I was going to do on the subtlety of Satan. That one will come along later, I'm sure. But when I, what prompted me to study this and to bring this up was that, you know, have you ever heard of chimney corner scriptures? Anybody know what a chimney corner scripture is? Well, it's one that sounds good and the meaning is there, but it's not actually in the Word. And not actually in the Bible. So I was talking to this lady on the phone, and I told her, I said, you know, the very thought of worry is sin, but you can't find a scripture that says that. She said, really? I didn't know that was in the Bible. I said, well, maybe I better check. So I started checking, and it's not there. The meaning is there. It's an implied meaning, but the meaning was not actually there. But this poem, there were some things in here that I thought about. Of generational sins and generational curses. My mother was a worrier. My grandmother was a worrier. Old Aunt Sarah, she worried about everything. And some people worry because they don't have anything to worry about. And you know, this is something that we may, as women, may be passing on since we're the caregivers. And we're going to deal with some of these things this afternoon, the things that we may have been worrying about. Have you ever wondered about what your children worry about? You think all kids don't have any worries? They're pretty carefree. You know what the number? There was a poll recently by Kids Poll, and they interviewed an equal number of boys and girls in the middle school age group from 9 to 13. And they found the following results, that 42% of children worry about their grades daily. What's the first thing that parents do if kids come home with bad grades? They want to ground them. They want to... whatever else. Well, you know, your phone privileges are gone. Somebody's laughing. They must have grounded their kids for bad grades. But, you know, and then only 19% worry about grades part of the time. So that's the number one worry that children have, is worrying about their grades. My mother's going to tear me up if I come home with a C. And what we've done, sometimes we've set expectations for our children that are too high. You may have a child that is not capable of making straight A's, but we all want our kids to make straight A's, just like the thing we had the other day with the A-plus and the C-plus. We want our kids to do our best, but we don't want to cause them to worry. And a lot of times when they come home with poor grades, it's because they haven't had any help at home. Mom and Dad's too busy to be involved in the kids' lives, and they're not really helping them. I know, because I'm on the other end of the stick part of the time. And so, number two worry is about looks or appearances. Now, I never had any girls. We raised four boys, and they could care less about what they wore until they got about 15 or 16 and got interested in girls. When they were in 6th and 7th grade, you couldn't even get them to wash their ears. You know, you'd have to really check them. If you had boys, you know what I'm talking about. But girls are especially concerned about their appearance. And one thing that really appalls me, or that is amazing to me, is that even the younger girls are beginning to become so fashion conscious. Little bitty girls, so fashion conscious. We have a granddaughter that's 5, and she likes to get play makeup, and she likes to get play heels, and all of those things that are for older children. And we've forced our kids to grow up. We've forced our children not to be children anymore. The number three worry, they worry about problems at home. 50% of kids worry occasionally about home problems. Only 11% of children don't worry about the problems at home. What kind of homes do our children come from? What kind of homes are we providing? Most of you are past childbearing. You're older, but you have grandchildren. This gives you something to pray about. What kind of homes, what are they coming home to? Now, someone said they like to be, one thing they worried about was fitting in. Kids worry about fitting in at school. They go to a new school. I don't have any friends. I don't want to leave my friends. I want to stay where I was. A lot of times kids worry about being out of shape. The boys want the big muscles, you know, and the girls worry about being too fat. And I had a little girl just this past week. We were doing an exercise on, we're writing a story about ourselves, and it's going to be a continuous story. We'll do one part of a story today, and then next week we'll add to it, and throughout the year, and at the end of the year, we'll have a finished story about their lives. And she wanted to know how much they weighed at birth, and she put that down, and then it wanted to know how much she weighed now. And she came up to me, and she said, Miss Hunt, she said, do I have to write down how much I weigh now? And, you know, I thought, this child is so conscious about her weight, because she was chubby. And I told her, I said, go ahead and write it down. I said, no one's going to see this but me or you. And I said, no one will look at it, and it'll be perfectly all right. But, you know, she was concerned about being out of shape. A lot of kids worry about the future. Well, when I get 18, I'm going to get out of this house. I'm going to leave here. Anybody ever say that? I'm going to get a good job. I'm going to get my own car. I'm going to do my own thing and be my own boss. A lot of kids worry about the future. What's in the future for them? What do they have? What's for them? Some kids even worry about being a failure to their parents or to their loved ones. Now, where did they learn all this worrying anyhow? Oh, they didn't learn it out of a book, did they? They learned it from their parents. Now, I had the most wonderful title for this teaching. Jerry, wake up so you can hear this. This is going to be good. Do we need a stick back there or a feather?
Well, I have giant
mouth. No, I won't go to sleep today. I promise you, I'll stay awake. You know, my first thought to name this teaching was, don't be a worrywart. Is that right? How many of you know what a worrywart is? Anybody? I didn't think so. I didn't either when I started studying this thing, and I got to looking at it. Well, now, a worrywart, when I looked it up in the dictionary, a worrywart is a prophet of misfortune or disaster.
Wow.
A Cassandra. A doomsayer or a pessimist.
Wow. Right.
Now, don't turn around and call. So I thought, well, I'll just name it Be Anxious for Nothing. Then I thought, no, I'm just going to name it Why Worry. But you think about that. A worrywart is a prophet of misfortune or disaster.
Wow.
A Cassandra. A doomsayer or a pessimist. What are some of the expressions that we use? We might say, I'm worried to death. Well, that's a bad thing to say about yourself, isn't it? Have any of you ever said that? That just worries me to death. I am so worried about him, I couldn't even sleep last night. I got really worried when she told me what had happened. I worried all night. I just worried myself sick. You worry me. Have you thought of something else that people say to use the word worry? Expressions that we make? What? Worried sick. That's a good one. And you always said that. Well, he just worried himself sick. Yeah.
Or I'm stressed to the max.
All right. Could worry cause stress?
Yeah.
You can't think straight when you get to really worrying about a situation or you get to really dwelling on it. You cannot think straight. You do stupid things. And worry is very contrary to the Word of God. And, you know, we're not all there yet, but we're going to work on it. We're going to get there. And Matthew chapter 6, I want to read a couple of scriptures there. It doesn't use the word worry. Some of the other translations and things do use the word worry. And beginning with verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on it, nor for is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than them? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? So you can't get any taller by worrying. It doesn't do a bit of good. The Amplified says that, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? You might shorten your life if you continue on worrying. And which of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure to his cubit or stature or to the span of his life? Now, I started looking on the internet at some things, and I was amazed at the number of websites that concern worry. Anybody want to guess how many they think I might have found?
900.
There were over 25 million. And I went back and I looked at that three times to be sure. Because you know up at the top of your page it'll say so many sites of so many, like 1 to 10 of 2. But there were, and I looked at that number and I counted that off. Ones, tens, hundreds, thousands, 10,000, 100,000, million.
What word did you type in? Just the word worry?
Just the word worry, and there were over 25 million signs. And there were a lot of them that weren't any good, too. A lot of them, I didn't read all 25 million, but they were there, all 25 million. Now, let's go back to our, I missed it. Clue me in. What did I miss?
That word. 25 million.
Oh, yeah. Well, do we need to practice the numbers? Let's go back to the thought of don't be a worry ward a minute. A prophet of misfortune or disaster, a Cassandra. Anybody in here named Cassandra? Anybody know people that name their children Cassandra? How many of you know the meaning of Cassandra? This one will blow you away. Not literally, you got to stay and listen. This comes from Greek mythology. Of course, we know that all mythology is demonic. But it means one who entangles men is a Cassandra. Now, a worrywart is a Cassandra, and a Cassandra is one who entangles men. So, ladies, if you're a worrywart, the inner meaning could be that you're one who entangles men. I mean, when I got to look at this stuff, I thought, man, you know, we have missed this because here we are so concerned. And we won't say, well, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. It's godly concern. I don't think there's too much difference in it. But this Cassandra was a daughter of Priam, and who was the king of Troy. And she had a gift of prophecy. But she was fated by Apollo never to be believed because she spurned his love. She didn't want anything to do with him. Now, he loved her, and he gave her this gift of prophecy. So he put a curse on her. Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with mythology. Uh-oh, we're putting curses on people from mythology. There's one clue right there. And most of mythology deals with death and dying and putting curses and things on. He placed a curse on her that no one would believe her prophecy. She even prophesied the Trojan War, but no one believed it. Now, her family felt that she was insane, and they put her and locked her away because they thought she was insane. Other people said, well, she was just misunderstood. Many gods were involved in her life. She helped one to seduce her sister even one time. And she prophesied the death of the king, but no one believed her. I'm wondering, could there be a spirit of Cassandra roaming in the earth today? Could there be? Think about child abuse, for example. Jerry, go ahead and take a nap. But let's look at child abuse. What does the abuser come in and tell the children after he's abused? Say a guy has come in and perpetrated a little girl.
Don't tell it.
Or if she tells it, he says no one will believe you.
Or I'll go to your mother.
Yeah. So to me, this child abuse thing stems back to the spirit of Cassandra, which also goes back to being a worry wart. So, I mean, I'm hoping today that when I finish this teaching that it will prompt you and bring your mind into focus when you start worrying about something that you think of these things and you say, you know, I don't want that in my life. And even though we may not be totally free of everything at one time, we can be working on this, that we don't want this type of spirit in us. Even though this is mythology, it came from someplace. And where did it come from? Came from Satan. Now, I found something that was really interesting to me on the internet. And I know that there's things, good things on the internet and bad things. But have any of you ever seen a worry stone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone describe it for me. Hey, what's a worry stone?
Rub.
It's got a little indentation in it.
It's supposed to calm you.
It's supposed to calm you down. You put them in your pockets and you rub them around like this. Mm-hmm. Anybody else ever seen that? You seen those? Yeah. Now, did you know that there is a worry doll? You've seen them, Carla? Yeah. I did not know that there was such a thing as a worry doll. Now, this comes from a legend from Guatemala.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem, especially children, they would tell children to tell that doll one worry every night before they would go to bed. And that worry doll would take the worry away. And even the next morning, you know, and adults started using them to take those worry dolls. And anybody want to see one? You used to have one?
There's a whole line of them.
All right. Pass this one around and you can look at it.
That is about one of the ugliest things I ever saw in my life. Here's some more. You can order them.
Oh, I thought Jerry was looking for one back here.
We're
picking on Jerry.
but they are really very small. They are really very small, but there's something that children have. And I got to thinking a little bit further. How many times do our little girls play with dolls? And I'm not saying this is totally wrong. You don't. And they play with dolls, and they tell these dolls all their worries and all their cares and everything. Sometimes that situation, if they have a pet, they will go talk to that pet. And you can tell all your worries to your little old dog, and it just seems like he understands everything you're saying to him. But what about worry beads? They even have worry beads. But ain't that thing ugly? That it didn't have any feet to it, and it just hollow-eyed and just awful-looking thing. Now, I found several meanings for the word worry. In the old English, you know, words change. Like, it used to mean this, and then it meant this, and it meant this, and today it means something else. The word meanings change. The word meanings will change. In the old English, the word worry means to strangle. I tell you, when I started studying this, I couldn't put it down. I mean, because there was so much in it, I just had to stay with it. And I don't know how many days I spent with this, and just in awe at the things that I was finding out about worry. And I wonder, makes me think, well, how many other things am I involved in that may have similar meanings to this? And so, you know, it's time that we begin to check the things that we're involved with. And the things that we're saying out of our mouths. Now, in Middle English, it means to grasp by the throat with the teeth. And to lacerate or kill or injure by biting and shaking. You know, in Arkansas, we have many cases of where babies are being shaken. And they shake them so much until they die. We had a case not too long ago of where they find bite marks on infants. Numerous bite marks on babies. Now, it could be the spirit of worry that has come in and has caused this. It could be passed down from generational things. There's other things, spirit of murder. But you look at this. To strangle would be a spirit of murder. Can worry produce the spirit of murder?
Yes.
If you stop and think about it. To grasp by the throat. To lacerate or kill or injure by biting or shaking. Well, by the time it got to the 16th century, worry means to harass by rough treatment or attack or to assault verbally. And, you know, I think all of these things are still prevalent today. I think it's been like a foundation. It just keeps building, 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 building. All the things that it once was, it still is, but then there's more that keeps coming forth from this particular thing. And I'm not sure, because it says in Scripture that hell has enlarged its mouth. And I know we have many more people in the earth today, but I think that still this spirit is the same. Strangling, grasping by the throat with the teeth, shaking, is still there. To harass by rough treatment or assault or to attack or to assault verbally. People don't care what they say to each other anymore. Even children, you would be surprised at some of the things that you hear coming from the mouth of children, especially in the public schools. And there's no respect. They assault the teachers. Look at the shootings and the killings and the things that happened. Look at the thing that happened up in West Virginia. What happened there? By the 17th century, it meant to bother, to distress, or to persecute. Well, now you're thinking, well, Jane, what in the world does that mean today? Today it means to cause to feel anxious or distressed or to feel troubled or uneasy. Have you ever seen a time in your lives when people were any more distressed than what they are today? The pressures of life are much greater today than what they were. Because we as Americans want to live the American dream. We want much more than we need. We want so many things. We want our children to have so many more things than what we had. And we've tried to live the American dream, but what it has done, it has brought anxiousness on us, distress on us. It makes us feel troubled or uneasy. And we say, well, I'm just concerned. Well, you know, I'm really concerned about my children. Why don't you just say it? Say I'm worried. Be done with it. And I want to tell a personal example here that happened to us just recently. Like I said, we have four sons, and I can't get them all serving the Lord at the same time. But we have one that is 37 years old, and he has four children. Been a lot of problems in that marriage all the way through. And he told me, and please don't go out and repeat this, because he told me, he said, him and his wife have had trouble, and the report came to me, back right after the July camp meeting, that he was using crack cocaine. And I just kept it in my, and kept it quiet and didn't say anything. Well, then about three weeks ago, his wife came to me and told me the same thing, and she had run him off from home. Now, where was he going to sleep? He stayed with friends. He didn't come to my house to sleep. What was he going to do? He had those four children to support. He had her. What was he going to do? I refused at that time to let the devil cause me to worry about that situation. I refused, and I'm not putting any accolades or anything on myself. But I thought, you know, and I told him when he came in and told us that it was true, and he came in and I said, well, son, I said, it's your life. You have to pay you have to take responsibility for it. And that was all I said to him. I still love that son. I don't know if he's still in drugs. I didn't ask him. He says he told his dad he wasn't, but I don't know whether he is or whether he isn't, and I don't intend to ask him. Because I refuse to worry. Now, a lot of times we start worrying about issues and things that happen in our kids' lives. And what do we want to do? We want to fix it. We want to fix it. We want to be Miss Goody Two Shoes and go fix it. But you know what? A lot of times we interfere with what God wants to do because we're too busy trying to fix the situation. And I told this son, I said, you know that you and your wife are both out of church. And I said, you know that when you get your life back straight with God, that things will work out. And I said, it's not going to work out for you until you do. Because the Word says that the way of a transgressor is hard. It says that. And you can call it tough love or uncaring. And my husband said, well, don't you even care? And I said, sure I do. But I said, I refuse to dwell on it. I refuse to dwell on it. Because the Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, just, lovely, of good report, any praise, any virtue, think on these things. There wasn't anything good in that report that I heard, even though it might have been true. Sure, I hold him up in prayer and ask God to have his way in his life, to work things out for him so that he can come back into the fold and serve the Lord the way that he wants to. Oh, by the way, he is getting sleep on the couch these days, I think. I think his wife told me she's letting him sleep on the couch. But that's just an example of the devil will bring things up to you to worry about. He will. He absolutely will, because if he can get you in a stew and get you to worry about something, he'll cook your goose. He will. If he can get you fretting and stewing about something, and you don't think straight. And what you usually get if you start getting real stressed and distressed, what happens to you?
Headache.
You get the headache. And then what?
Stomach ache.
Can't sleep at night. Now, why in the world do we want all those things? Why do we want those, ladies? We don't want those things in us. Now, a biblical perspective for worry might read like this. A failure to understand God's provision for us and his promises. A failure to cast our cares on him. I believe in 2 Peter it says to cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. It didn't say just cast the good ones or just cast once in a while to cast them on him because he cares for you. Proverbs in the King James, in Proverbs 12:25, it says, heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Heaviness is worry. And worry leads to fear. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I worry about this. You know, I'm really afraid. How many people in the world do you know that are depressed, that are on antidepressants?
Most people
are on antidepressants. There's three sources for our heaviness. God could put a burden on you. I know not long ago that I had this friend, and she's going through some things, and I don't know the extent of what she's going through. But I have talked to her, and I've prayed with her, and she cries, and she doesn't share with me, and I don't ask. But I know that the Lord has woke me up at night a couple of weeks ago 4 times in one night to pray for her. And I actually felt like there was something here that I was holding a load for her. So I actually know what it was like to bear her burden. But you know, God will sometimes burden us to pray for a certain thing. And if He wakes you up in the night to pray, brother, you better get up and pray. And you better pray out loud, because if you don't, you'll lay right there and go back to sleep and you won't say a word. But just pray out loud. You need to hear yourself pray out loud, and the devil needs to hear you pray out loud. So just bring it out loud. But God doesn't bring depression when He puts heaviness on us to pray for a situation. Now, Satan brings depression because he brings his demonic spirits, and he brings a bunch of them that want to invade us. But a lot of our depression is our own doing. Ourselves, we can blame ourselves. Because we refuse to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness within us. We do little to resist the devil. But we come crying to God, get me out of this mess. But I believe the scripture says to draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We've kind of got that backwards. We want to start resisting the devil, but we haven't drawn nigh to God. Thank goodness for His mercy when He said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The Amplified Bible says that anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Now, we've already discussed this a little bit, but worry in your mind will bring shock to your body. Headaches, sleeplessness, ulcers. How many heart attacks are brought on by worry? High blood pressure? Think of the things that bring worry to us. Is worry necessary? What do you think? Is it good? Is it healthy for us to worry? So we need to be very careful when we say, when we let that word come out of our mouth. And, you know, I just want God to make us aware of what we're really saying. Now, in Scripture, there are some examples of worry, and worry that was maybe was justified. Sometimes bad news can cause you to worry for just a little while. And even over in Jeremiah, and when they heard the evil tidings, that they were faint-hearted because there was sorrow on the sea and it could not be quiet. So it was faint-hearted. And when you hear bad news, if you hear of a sudden death or a sudden accident, sometimes that worry will want to come over you. But the man of God can rise up within you and can bring peace and calmness even in the midst of that storm, in the midst of whatever storm. He did that for me when concerning this problem with our son. He did that for me. I had peace in that whole situation, and I still got peace, and I don't know how it's going to end up, and I don't care. That's God's business. It's not mine. Because I am, I don't want to say sick and tired, because I don't want to be sick either. But you know, I am frustrated with the devil bringing these things into my life to defeat me, when God says that I am victorious, that I don't have to live like this. And I haven't learned it all yet. I'm not totally there, but I'm getting there. I'm working on it. Now, worry causes hysteria. You look at what happened down in New Orleans with Katrina and with Rita, and the people that were worried about not having enough food, and how that they were just, I mean, it was, I was not there, and I know it had to have been a horrible thing. But look how hysterical the people got. Now, I think in the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus, that Martha got just a little bit frustrated, and she got just a little bit hysterical. And I think she was having a little bit of a pity party. She went into Jesus, and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all this kitchen work alone, or to left me to serve alone?" Said, "Tell her to come and help me. Come to help me in the kitchen." So she was a little bit feeling sorry for herself. And Jesus answered, and he said, "You are careful and troubled about many things." It wasn't just one or two things. I think there was a whole lot of things going on in her life besides the fact that she wasn't helping in the kitchen. What do you see in her? See a little bit of jealousy? Can worry cause you to be jealous? I see some self-pity in her, too. Poor me. Poor me. Now, I will say this for Martha, that it took a lot of nerve for her to get up and go to Jesus. She had to be pretty brave. I don't think I'd have the nerve to go up and say, "Jesus, tell Carla, come over here and help me in the kitchen." I don't think that I could be that brave. But she knew who he was because she called him Lord. She called him Lord. Now, people cause worry, too. We know that because that's where most of our worries come from. Right after, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, let's look at that one just a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 10, in verse 2, I'll start with verse 1. "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?' And he says, 'When thou art departed from me this day, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zizah. And they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek after are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?'" So we see in this that there was a cause for worry because he was looking for his son. You look at the case of Joseph. When the brothers came back, there had to be some sorrow there for their father because Joseph was not with the brothers when they came back to Jacob. Economic disaster, we talked a little bit about that one. Look at the stock market crash during the Great Depression, and how many of you heard Brother Glenn yesterday tell how many billions of dollars that the Fed Reserve put into the economy to keep it from having a stock crash again? Worry will lead to backsliding if you continually worry. Have you ever been around somebody that just worries all the time? I don't like... Did you want to say something?
No, I said yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you had something to add. But look at Isaiah 57.
We love you, Dave.
You don't have any choice. Thank you, Jerry. Isaiah 57:11. I'll tell you this, Jerry. The Lord's had to work some things out of me before I was able to teach. Yeah, I had to go through some deliverance and things, so maybe someday the Lord will allow me to share that. What? Thank you. Isaiah 57, verse 11. "And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied, and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have I not held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not?" So he was been afraid, and he was worrying, and he was lying. So lying will lead to backsliding. Just to put it plain and simple, worry is nothing but sin. It's nothing but sin. In Psalms 38, the Amplified, verse 18, it says, "For I confess my iniquity. I am full of anxiety because of my sin." You know, it's one thing to confess your sins, but it's something else to repent and turn from them. That's a good question. If we all did that, what in the world would our houses look like? I mean, you know, and the thing about it is, I think it's the thing that is most important and thing that you are zeroing in and focusing on. If you know, my mother was a good housekeeper. I'm so-so. But, I mean... And many times when I was a child, I had to go back and redust the furniture because I couldn't dust it to suit her. And I'd have to do things. I wanted to be outside doing other things rather than being in the house helping her. But she was very immaculate. She was very particular with how her house was made. She didn't go to church without her beds being made. I am that way. But, you know, She wanted everything in order, just like it was supposed to be. And I didn't inherit that. But there are some people who are very particular. But sometimes they can make you uncomfortable to go into their houses. Yeah. It's a house. It's not a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know the answer to your question. I think that Jesus did a lot of eating in his time. And so, Jerry? And she could have been eavesdropping and listening, couldn't she? Yeah. You're probably right on that. But that brings up another thought, too, that sometimes we're so busy with our own thing that we don't hear God when he wants to speak to us.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there is a time for everything. And if the Spirit is moving, then you better stay in that place where the Spirit is moving. Now, I have some quotes that are just really neat. The first one is by Dorothy Galeon, and it says that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it does not get you anywhere. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. Let me read that one again. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That was Corey Ten Boom's. You'll break the worry habit the day you decide you can meet and master the worst that can happen to you. Now, I don't totally agree with that because I think that sometimes that there needs to be a lot of deliverance from worry. And there's probably not one of us in here that doesn't need some deliverance from worry today. And Winston Churchill once said, now, when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of troubles in his life, most of which had never happened. And another one says, it ain't no use putting up your umbrella until it rains. I like that one. So if you see somebody worried, say, don't put your umbrella up. People get so in the habit of worry that if you save them from drowning and put them on a bank in the dry to sun with hot chocolate and muffins, they'd wonder whether they were catching cold or not. And another one that says, don't worry, or don't be afraid of tomorrow, for God has already been there. Isn't that precious? Now, in Philippians, it says, and I kind of paraphrase some of these scriptures because I like to get them down where I understand what they mean to me. And you know that the Word of God is alive, that it has different meanings for different people at different seasons and different times of your life. That's why it's a living document. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for the answers. And I believe the psalmist said, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. Perfect love casts out all fear. So we have to trust in God. Instead of worrying, we want to trust in Him. Lord, I don't know. Don't understand the reason for this. I don't understand how it's going to work. But I give it to you. I want you to handle it because I can't. And most of your worries are bigger than what you are. And remember that only 10% of them are legitimate. So why do we waste all this time with something that doesn't benefit us? That comes to the point that we have to rest in God. All right, Lord, I'm giving it to you. My son is in your hands. You do with him as you seem necessary, whatever it takes to bring him to salvation, to his soul. You know, bring him back to the place he needs to be. And if we're worrying, we don't have to go to bed and lay awake. How many of you have laid awake at night worrying about your kids, worrying about what's going to happen? Yeah. The psalmist also said, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Psalms 4:6. And you know one thing about it, we might as well go to sleep because God doesn't sleep. I mean, he's going to stay awake and watch over the situation. He who watches over you will neither sleep nor slumber. So what do we have to lay awake for? Another one says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And one of my favorites is that he gives his beloved sleep. We don't have to have insomnia. We just go on. You know, one night not long ago, I had one of the most beautiful experiences. And I was having a dream. And I very seldom dream, but of lately I've been dreaming a lot more. And this dream was that we were singing the song. I don't even know who the young man was that was leading the song. We were singing, "Oh, how he loves you and me." And then they went into, "Jesus loves me." And I actually felt the very arms of God reach out and just gather me in. And I had the most loved, warm feeling when I awoke, knowing that my God loved me, that he cared for me. Even though I've been done things, you know, he still loved me and gathered me in, and I felt that, and it was just the most awesome feeling I think I've ever experienced. It was even, you know, better than your husband when he tells you he loves you and wants to get married, or your parents when they tell you that they love you. This was a different thing. It was I could just almost breathe God in at that moment, and woke up and I just felt, and I just lay in the bed and just bask in his love. But you know, that's what we're supposed to do, is to rest in him and not be worried. Because in Acts it says, in him we live and move and have our being. And another paraphrase on this scripture that I read at the beginning, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now, don't run around naked here. But look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add one single hour to his life? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. If God created you in his likeness and his image, we can trust him with the details of our lives. Every detail we can trust him with. If we're so concerned about the future and worrying about the future, it hampers our efforts for today. And tomorrow never comes. So worrying is more harmful than it is good. Worry shows lack of faith. There's some challenges that God wants us to pursue, but when we start worrying about things, we don't get anything done. If we live one day at a time, then we're not consumed with worry. Meditate on his word. When you want to get worried about something, just turn the Bible open and start reading. Meditate on the word. Pray. Now, here's something that I didn't know. A lot of people, when they start getting worried, I think I'll just get a cup of coffee. And of course, if you, when you used to smoke years ago, you'd have to get a cigarette and a cup of coffee. You know, but that's been a long time ago for me. But caffeine increases the likelihood of having a panic attack. I had never read that before. But you know, I'll just get a cup of coffee to calm my nerves. I never thought about that. See, I learned some stuff on this thing. And what does it say about in that a cheerful heart or a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and a broken spirit dries up the bones? We're all looking for peace. We're all looking for God's best in our lives. You know, when we get in trouble, it's when we take our eyes off of Jesus. A lot of people want to fault Peter when he began walking on the water. But he sure walked a lot further than what any of you or I have walked. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he began to sink. When we lose our focus on him, that's when the worry comes in. When we lose our focus and quit trusting in him. And peace with God is something that the world doesn't have. He said he left his peace with us. He'd give it to us. Not as the world gives. And he said, let your hearts not be afraid. Don't be troubled. So we see that Corrie Ten Boom also said that worrying is stupid. I'm quoting directly from her. She says, worrying is stupid. The Bible says, do not worry about anything. If you are worrying, you are being disobedient. Now, I had to understand that before I could stop doing it. First, I tried it in my own strength, positive thinking and not fretting anymore. That approach was just about as successful as attacking a lion with a toy pistol. And we all know what a great lady that Corrie Ten Boom was. Now, only the Lord can set you free from worrying. through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if you're worried, well, we have to constantly be reminding of that, because once an evil spirit is driven out, it wants to come back, and it'll bring some more with it when it comes. But what are some of the demon spirits that cause worry? I think the number one would be fear. What about a harassing spirit sent to just harass you and constantly bring your mind back to this thing? Well, I'm just not going to think about that anymore. I'm just going to put that out of my mind. What happens? It comes right back in. Many times we doubt that God can take care of a situation. We have to help him. We have to worry a little bit. We have to help him. Saying that God can't take care of a situation, we have doubt. What about insecurity? Worry would be a demonic spirit would be insecurity. Now, I don't know if anybody has cast out a spirit of stress. I don't know what that falls under. Anybody would be what? Right. But, you know, we hear a lot of people say, well, I'm just stressed out. So I think that there is a spirit of stress that the devil is bringing into people to cause them to be out from under God's umbrella of protection. It causes torment. A demonic spirit of torment can torment you. What about a familiar spirit? Oh, you remember the poem I read at the beginning? I think that was a familiar spirit that passed down from generation to generation to generation. We had to learn to worry somewhere. And so then, if we look back at finances, what demonic spirit would you think would be involved with we worry about our finances? I didn't hear you, Jerry. Okay, but, right. False treasures? All right, false treasure, that's a good one. What about children and grandchildren? We worry about them. Where are we going to put that? Can we put that with familiar spirits? Kind of sounds like family when you say familiar, doesn't it? Familiar spirits, we pass those things on. Trying to be their savior. Mm-hmm. We are. Health issues. Where would we put that one?
Fear of death.
Fear of death. There's a death spirit that will come and try to take over. What about a spirit of confusion that comes in a marriage? A spirit of confusion can come in a marriage. Double-mindedness. Infirm spirits would be health. Careers and jobs would be what?
Provision.
I heard that. A spirit of provision or lack of provision? The spirit of lack of provision. All right, idol of success. Selfish ambition, that's a good one. You know, once I met a lady one time that needed a ride to town and her car was broken down, so I offered to take her. I knew she had great fear in her life, but I never saw anyone with the fear like she had. And I didn't know anything about deliverance at that time, and the Lord just brought her to my mind. But she was afraid to get in the car to begin with. She was worried, afraid we would have a wreck. And every time I went around the corner, she just grabbed onto the dash of the car. And when we got to a store, she looked all around with great fear. And I knew, I mean, I wasn't really into deliverance at that time, and I knew that there was something wrong with this lady, but I didn't know what it was. But she had a fear that was unbelievable, that she had this fear. So we know that when we start worrying about things, that it produces fear. Fear, when it comes in, will produce all of these things that we have talked about. Illness, death. Yes?
Spirit of strife.
Strife, all right, in a marriage.
Marriage is illegal.
All right, strife. What about self-pity? Does worrying, we worry about something, do we feel justified because we've worried about it? I mean, really, you stop and think about it. Many times we do. We feel real justified because we worried about this situation.
False responsibility.
False responsibility. Good one. That's right. So that would go along with loneliness, wouldn't it? What was that, Jerry? Call it false?
Responsibility. Yeah.
Because you worried. Self-gratification. I see. I'm invoking some people to do some thinking. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah. Who's going to take charge? Who's going to do it? Well, somebody has to.
I think my mother-in-law have taken that over for me because I don't worry. They worry that I don't worry.
But you'd be surprised at how much freedom that you have when you refuse to worry. I mean, you know, I've just seen it, and at the time this was happening with my son, I really wasn't going to, you know, do the whole teaching on this thing that that the Lord has given me. But I thought, well, you know, there was such a freedom in that.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to get bogged down in it, you just go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'll be the one.
False responsibility. Yeah. Okay. You know, really, I should worry about that, but I'm not. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Anything else we can think of? All right, are we ready to pray? A prophet of misfortune or disaster, a Cassandra, a doomsayer, or a pessimist? Get all that down? Yes, ma'am. Is there a fine line between grief and worrying? I believe that grief is a natural process because Jesus wept. And there is, but there, if you get into extended grief and you can't get over that grief, then deliverance would need to come from that. But, you know, like in the case of a death or something like that, you should be, you are sorrowful and you are sad and you are grieved because of that. But if you just continue in that for an extended period of time, then I think that we need to... All right. Any more questions? Any more comments?
What was it, Cassandra?
Oh, Jerry, you were sleeping, weren't you? Cassandra comes from Greek mythology. It means... She who entangles men. And it was a daughter of Priam, P-R-I-A-M.
That's all I needed to know.
All right. And she was the one that had the gift of prophecy, but there was a curse put on her that no one believed the gift of prophecy that she had. Yeah, it would be an entrapment. Anything else? All mine's clear? Yeah, I want to write spirit of suicide down, too, because we're going to come against that, too. Paranoia? Well, that's mental illness, and I guess you can worry yourself sick. You'd be mentally sick. Yeah, it does. All right, any more comments? Any more? Well, then, you guys ready to stand up and stretch a little bit? I know it's been warm, and I appreciate your attentiveness, and even Jerry staying awake. I appreciate that. And if somebody will call my name when I go to sleep when you're ministering, I promise I'll wake up for a few minutes. Yes. First of all, I think that we need to confess to the Lord things that we may have been guilty of worrying. And then, you know, if you determine in your heart that you're going to repent from these things and that you're not going to be a worrier anymore, that you want the freedom from this, then Jerry's already got the paper towels back there. She's ready to go. So if something wants to come out, let it come out of you. And, usually a demon will hunt the quickest exit he can get out. And most of the time he wants to come out through your mouth. That's where most of them come out because our mouths are engaged more than any other part of our body, I think. It's why he uses that. And the tongue can no man tame, and I think that's why God uses the mouth so many times to expel demons. So let's just bow our heads and just pray in your own way, and then I'll pray in a few minutes, and then we'll go into deliverance. So just whatever you need to confess to the Lord or whatever you need to repent of, let's just take a few minutes and do that. Father, we just thank you this afternoon, Lord, that we can come before you, Lord, with our cares, with the things that have concerned us, Lord, and with the things that in the past that we have worried about. Lord, we make a commitment to you this afternoon that we're going to worry less, that we're going to be less concerned about the things that we can do nothing about, Lord. And Father, that we're going to keep our minds stayed upon you because that's where the perfect peace is. That's where the peace comes, is when we keep our minds stayed upon you. Father, we thank you that we have been made aware of the demonic implications, Lord, of worrying and of trying to be concerned and taking care of things ourselves when, Father, we're not able to do that, Lord. And, Father, right now, I want to bring these various things that we have worried about, these things that we have named worried about. We worry about our finances when we know that you are... will meet every need that we have in our lives. And Lord, you've called us to be good stewards, but we refuse to worry about finances, Lord, and we want you to bring in the finances for the kingdom of God, Lord, in each of our lives, Lord, not that we want to use it for selfish gain, but Lord, that it would come to glorify you. Father, we come with our families, with our grandchildren, with our children, with our mothers, our fathers, Lord. We cast that care upon you because we know that you care about them far more than what we do. And Lord, when we want to worry worry about them, Lord. We just pray that you would just remind us, Lord, that worry is sin. And, Father, that you have them in your hands, Lord. And, Father, that you're going to see a finished work in them, Lord. And, Father, we just pray for health, Lord, worrying about health, worrying about how am I going to pay my insurance? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do something else? What will happen if I get sick? Worry of death. We come against the worry of death in the name of Jesus, and we cast that thing out in the name of Jesus. We ask that the worry of death be gone from us in the name of Jesus, that you have set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The worry of finances, we come against that demon, Lord, that would cause us to want to worry about not having enough money, but be having need, Lord, in our lives. And we come against that in the name of Jesus, and we ask that it would be gone. Father, for marriages, I bring those to you, Lord, the spirit of strife. I ask that you would remove that right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of strife will have to go from that marriage. Spirit of confusion to go from those marriages, Lord. And Father, that they can esteem each other, Lord, and they can look at each other and say, I love you and truly mean it, Lord. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We come against any confusion, any backbiting in a marriage, anything, any jealousy in a marriage. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that it would be gone right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we come before we come with you with the worry about careers and jobs, because your word says to seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And Lord, we just ask that we would begin to seek you, Lord. We begin to seek your face, Lord, and that you will bring us into jobs and things that you have for us. It's not what we want for ourselves, but it's what you want for us. Lord, help us to lay aside selfish ambitions in the name of Jesus. Lay aside selfish ambitions and those ambitions, Lord, that are not like you, Lord. And Father, those things that we want to do that you don't want us to do, and we intend to do them anyhow, Lord. Our stubbornness and our rebellion, we come against those right now in the name of Jesus. Stubbornness and rebellion, leave right now in Jesus' name. Stubbornness and rebellion, come out of your people right now in the name of Jesus. Stubbornness and rebellion, be gone in Jesus' name. Come out of there, stubbornness and rebellion, every bit of it, out of there in the name of Jesus. Stubbornness and rebellion, be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be gone. Our selfish ambitions, we come against those and we lay them at your feet, Lord, because we want to be your people, Lord. We want to do the things that you would have us to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. The fears, Lord, we come against the spirit of fear right now, Lord. All of these things with worry can go back into the spirit of fear. And we come against the spirit of fear. Fear of not being liked. We come against you right now in the name of Jesus. We come against that fear right now. Fear of not being popular, of not being accepted. We come against that in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, leave God's people right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, be gone in Jesus' name. Fear, be gone in Jesus' name. The fear of loneliness, we come against that one in the name of Jesus. We bring self-pity. We come against self-pity right now. In Jesus' name, that the self-pity would be gone in the name of Jesus. Spirit of self-pity, come out of your people in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirit of self-pity, every bit of you, every root, come out of you in the name of Jesus. Come out of your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, spirit of self-pity, come out of God's children right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of doubt, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. Doubting that God will take care of you. Doubting that you're going to have enough. We come against that in the name of Jesus. Spirit of doubt, be gone in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus. Harassing spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Spirits that come to you in the night and speak to you, the incubus and succubus, those spirits that come in and bring confusion to your mind, we say be gone in the name of Jesus. For God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Harassing spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. Those dreams that keep reoccurring, be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be gone in Jesus' name. The spirit of insecurity, we speak to you right now. We speak to you, insecure spirit, and ask that you would leave right now in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus drives you out. Insecure spirit, be gone, be gone, be gone, be gone in the name of Jesus. Insecure spirit, leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Insecure spirit, be gone in the name of Jesus. Spirit of stress, leave God's people. Spirit of stress, leave God's people. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. We cast you out. Come up out of them, Lord. Come up out of their backs. Come out of their lower parts of their bodies. Spirit of stress, come up out of their head, out of their mind, out of their hearts. Every part of their body, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of their muscles. Come out of their eyes. Come out of their faces, out of their mouths. Spirit of stress, leave in Jesus' name. Spirit of stress, go in Jesus' name. Go, you foul spirit of stress. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be gone in Jesus' name. Familiar spirits that have been transferred down from the bloodline, we cut them off. We say no more. We say no more. We cancel their assignment. We cancel their assignment that causes us to worry in the name of Jesus. Familiar spirit, be gone. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Familiar spirit of worry, be gone in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. Familiar spirit of worry, leave in the name of Jesus. Leave in Jesus' name. Be gone, be gone, be gone in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have no authority. We strip it of you in Jesus' name. You are gone in Jesus' name. And then last, we want to cast out that spirit of fear. That spirit of fear again. There's still some roots of fear that are in God's people here. Oh, we come against that spirit of fear. Uncoil off of their back. Turn them loose. Turn them loose. Come up out of their bellies. Come up out of their bellies. Come up out of their lungs. Come up out of their being. Every part of their being. Come up out of them in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, come out of them. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, come out of them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, come out of them in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, be gone, be gone, be gone, be gone. In Jesus' name, spirit of fear, come out. Spirit of worry, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. Anxious, anxiety, spirits of anxiety, spirits of mental illness, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Paranoia, schizophrenia, bipolar, come out of there in Jesus' name. We come out against you in Jesus' name. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. You have no power. You have no authority. Out of there in Jesus' name. All mental illness, come out in Jesus' name. All mental illness, come out. Spirits of infirmity, come out. Spirits of infirmity, come out. Come out, come out. Diabetes, heart trouble, overweight, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Headaches, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Gout, arthritis, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Out of there in Jesus' name. Out of there in Jesus' name. Ulcers, insomnia, come out in Jesus' name. Lung problems, not able to breathe in Jesus' name. Every bit of you, come out of there in Jesus' name. Every bit of you, out in the name of Jesus. Every bit of you in Jesus' name, out of there. Digestive problems. Oh, acid reflux, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Every bit of it, out of there in Jesus' name. Every bit of you, every foul spirit, every infirm spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Irritable bowel.
IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. We ask you to come out in Jesus' name. Cancer.
Go.
Cancer, go in Jesus' name. Cancer, leave. Spirits of cancer, leave right now in Jesus' name. Leave. Leave in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. All you foul spirits, leave in Jesus' name. Fibromyalgia has to go. All joint pain has to leave. All joint pain, all fibromyalgia, all muscular problems, leave in Jesus' name. Spirits of suicide, we come against you right now in the name of Jesus. We tell you to be gone. Spirit of suicide, in the name of Jesus, leave. Leave in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Spirit of suicide, be gone. Word curses that we've spoken, that we cancel all those, make them null and void in the name of Jesus. And worry ward spirit, we cast that one out in the name of Jesus. Cassandra, come out of there. Cassandra, out of there in the name of Jesus. Every bit of you, Cassandra, out of there.
Strangling spirits.
Strangling spirits. The spirits of shaking spirits. Come out of your people in Jesus' name. All of those spirits out of there in the name of Jesus. Body spirits out of there in the name of Jesus. Destructive spirits. Child abuse spirits out of there. Distress, anxiousness. Come out in Jesus' name. Every bit of it. Spirit of murder. Leave in Jesus' name. Verbal assault. Come out of there. Spirit of verbal assault that would come against God's people. Every one of you come out of there in Jesus' name. Every one of you. We don't want you. We don't need you. Out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus and Father, we just ask that you would fill your women, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, Lord. With it, create a place in them, Lord, that a place of safety in you, Lord. And Father, that you would just undergird them, Lord, that they can feel your arms of love and protection round about them. And we just come against any backlash and any retaliation of the enemy that would want to bring these in. And Father, I just pray that there would be even a greater consciousness, Lord, of what worry can do to us, Lord. And Father, that we would say those things, that we would look at that and say,
I don't want this anymore. I don't want this. This is not what God has for me. Because he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are filling these ladies, Lord, with your love and with your spirit and with your presence, Lord. And, Father, the things that the enemy has stolen from them, we say no more, no more. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our deliverer, Lord, and that we are being set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. You have a few extra minutes if you need to talk to me or if you want further prayer. Well, we'll be around here.